God gives us examples of those who trusted in Christ and manifest his character that we would learn from that. You see, we should follow Jesus Christ, and we are to follow Jesus Christ. But we're also to look at those who are faithfully trusting and walking with him and imitate, as we will see, their faith.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Greg, we all have someone who inspires us, and that may be a sports figure or a teacher or a coach, and might be your parents or even your grandparents, but we can all point to someone who's impacted our lives deeply. But when the tables are turned and someone wants to follow us, we get a little skittish about that.
You know, Dave, that's often the case. We rarely feel adequate or qualified to be someone else's example. And this is especially true when it comes to spiritual mentoring or our Christian lives. In the passage we're going to see today, the Apostle Paul is presenting us with a living example of what a true Christian should be. If you have your Bible handy, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 19 through 24.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, who do you look up to? What examples do you follow? If you were to think of a person that you would want to emulate, who would that person be and why? Well, the world emulates all kinds of different people. And usually it's those who are head and shoulders above the rest, those who are popular, those who are fun, whatever it might be. That's what the world does. But who are we as believers to emulate? Who are we to imitate? Well, today we're going to continue our look at examples of faith to follow. And we're going to see and take a look at Timothy. Timothy, he was a Christ-focused, proven servant. So would you turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 19, as we continue our study. And most of you have been here for the context of Philippians. You've been here through the book. But Paul is writing to believers in Philippi while under house arrest in Rome. He's about to go before Caesar, and this is one of his four prison epistles: Colossians, Philippians, Ephesians, Philemon. He is very close to the Philippians, having the privilege to share the gospel with them, bringing about a new church back in Acts 16, 10 years earlier, with Lydia and her household and the Philippian jailer and his household becoming saved. The Apostle Paul has shared his thankfulness in this letter for God's past work in them. And his confidence, because they're true believers, that God would complete that work. And then he shared his prayer, and his desire was that their love for Christ would abound in true knowledge and real discernment, so that they would choose the excellent things that would glorify God. And Paul shared his circumstances, that although he was imprisoned, the gospel was not imprisoned, and that God was being magnified through even the difficulties he was going through. And he understood that his life being on the line, to live was Christ and to die was gain. And then he came to the Philippians and he shared with them and encouraged them to walk in a manner worthy of their heavenly calling. Walk in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. To stand firm and strive together against the opposition, knowing that this is a sign that they, the Philippians, are on their way to glory and their opposition is on their way to destruction. And we saw in chapter 2 how we are to maintain unity in the body of Christ, where the Apostle Paul motivated them and us to unity through the common truths we share as believers. And true believers were commanded to think the same way, to have same-mindedness. And practically speaking, what that looks like is doing nothing from selfish or empty conceit. Never be motivated by self-interest or pride or vainglory. But we should be regarding others as supreme, super above one another. Scoping out ways and looking for ways to regard one another as more important than ourselves. And then we saw how all this can be done. It's only when we have the mind of Christ, when we have this attitude which was in Christ Jesus, that we can do these things. And then the Apostle Paul gives the example of selfless humility of Jesus Christ, God, who took on human flesh. Obviously, we see the mind exemplified in what he did. He didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he humbled himself. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and he humbled himself, being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's the mindset we should have. Humble obedience for God's glory. Therefore, God highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every other name. At the name that Jesus bears or possesses, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. And then we saw the implications for every true believer that we are to be working out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's not a willy-nilly Christian life. It is a situation where God has called us out of sin and into his marvelous light. We are believers, transformed, new creations. And God is at work in us, and therefore we are to work out what he is working in us with fear and trembling. We're to be obeying, and the Philippians were. And then we saw the first direct application of working out our salvation with fear and trembling, having the mind of Christ, which was to do all things without complaining or arguing. And we saw a temporary purpose because we are shining lights in this world. But then we saw the eternal purpose that in holding fast the word of God, our lives would be manifest in such a way that when we came before the Lord, we truly would have been changed in a sense and he would be glorified. And the Apostle Paul made it clear he wanted to rejoice in what God had done through them rather than have all that work in vain. And it's from that we see that we come to some examples of the mind of Christ. As we saw last week, the Apostle Paul, an example to follow. A man who was spent for Christ. A man who had a life well spent. And from that, we see there is true joy in giving over our lives for each other as Christ Jesus did for us. As we trust and obey the Lord, giving ourselves over to him, we give ourselves over to one another. And that's where there's joy. And Paul wanted them to rejoice, and he wanted to share his joy with them and them share their joy with him. And it's from this we come to two more examples of faith to follow. Today we're going to see Timothy and then next time Epaphroditus. So again, turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, where we're going to see that Timothy was a Christ-focused, proven servant. Verse 19, but I hoped in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interests, not those of Christ. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall be coming shortly. Now, the main point of this passage is to prepare the way for Timothy to come and minister to the Philippians. We're going to see in a little bit that he had been with them before three times. That's what Paul is doing, but in the preparation for the way for Timothy, for them to respond, Paul gives us some insight into the character of Timothy that we can learn from. Notice, first of all, Paul shares his desire in the Lord to send Timothy to the Philippians to learn of that spiritual condition. Verse 19, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Now we're going to see the Apostle Paul desires to send Timothy to the Philippians to learn of their condition, to learn of, as we'll see, their spiritual condition. He is concerned for them. And I praise God that he is so gracious to not only tell us what to do, but he gives us examples in Scripture of what we are to do. You see, we might be tempted to say, oh, you know, obviously I can't be exactly like the Lord Jesus. He's God who took on human flesh. I know him to be sort of like him. I know him to be like, but I can't be him, obviously, right? But God gives us examples of those who trusted in Christ and manifest his character that we would learn from that. You see, we should follow Jesus Christ, and we are to follow Jesus Christ. But we're also to look at those who are faithfully trusting and walking with him, not perfectly, but walking with him, and imitate, as we will see, their faith in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:16, I exhort you, therefore, be imitators of me, Paul says. Mimic me. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me, just as I am of Christ, Paul writes. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, now I command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord, that you keep aloof from every brother who leads an unruly life, not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. And he goes on at the end of that portion, 2 Thessalonians, to say that you might follow. We had a model for you guys that you might follow our example. You see, as we trust in Christ, it's going to manifest in how we act around one another and how we behave. And there are examples in Scripture for us to see, inspired by the Spirit of God, that we might mimic from a right heart. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. That's how they led you. They shared the word of God. And considering the result of their conduct, do what? Imitate their faith. Trust Jesus like they did. Imitate their faith. So we're going to look at Timothy's example today, having looked at Paul's last week, and we'll look at Epaphroditus next week. And these human examples assure us that obedience in Christ is possible. We have a lot of excuses. Oh, this and this. You don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. You don't know my work. You don't know the situation. Oh, excuse after excuse after excuse. But we see in Scripture, excuses don't hold water. We see true examples of believers who trusted Christ and manifest his character. And we are to mimic and imitate them. So then, Paul desires to send Timothy to these Philippians. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. And notice at the end of our passage in verse 23, therefore I hope to send him immediately, as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come to you shortly. This passage is about sending Timothy and Paul's desire to do so. But within the passage is the character of Timothy and the reason why they should accept Timothy when he comes to check on their condition. Now notice the Apostle Paul. He is not someone who just makes plans and does it. He doesn't just sit there and say, hey, you know what? We're going to send Timothy. That's the way it's going to go. We're going to do this. We're going to do this in the church. We're going to do that, whatever it might be. He says, but I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, or literally quickly. And our passage begins with a contrast. But Paul is contrasting his deep desire that these Philippians would rejoice with him in difficult circumstances and that they would share that. And within that, he contrasts that with his deep concern for their spiritual condition. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly. It's amazing if we could only grasp this concept that Paul was submitted to Christ. He submitted his decisions to the Lord. It doesn't mean we don't make decisions. It doesn't mean we don't make plans. It's the heart that yields those plans over to the Lord. It's interesting. At times I talk to people about what they might do. Well, I'll do this and that. No, I don't want to do this or that. What are you saying? If the Lord wants me to do it, I'll do it, whatever it is. And when I make a plan, I hope in the Lord that this is what he wants me to do, that he'll lead me in this. And the Apostle Paul was a model of trusting in Christ. Lord willing. You know, we sometimes use that as a little tag along, and don't do that because that's wrong. But where we actually in our heart of hearts believe that what is we've planned or what we might do is in the context of God's sovereign will, if he desires or not. It's a yielded heart to the Lord, not an external hypocrisy of putting spiritual lingo on your sentences or emails. It's a yielded heart. It's a yielded heart. One pastor writes, Paul never wanted to act independently of his master's desires. He submitted all his plans to the Lord. The Lord was sovereign. Everything was submitted to the Lord. That was the bottom line. And folks, when we don't do so, we are arrogant. Do you understand what the word arrogant means? It speaks of pride, but it's pride in your face. It's not just pride inside. Arrogance comes out. It's pride in your face. And when we do not make our plans trusting in the Lord and having Him sovereign over them, we're being arrogant in a sense in God's face. And it's evil. Turn to James chapter 4 for a moment and I'll share this from the scriptures. You know, and just as much as saying, Lord willing, we'll do this, sometimes we're not willing to even accept the options. We need to be open to everything and trust the Lord and place those before Him and then make our plans and allow Him to direct our steps. But we see something in James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. A simple statement, doesn't sound too bad, doesn't sound very evil, doesn't sound very sinful at all, does it? Well, it is. If that's the mindset from the heart of a believer, it's an evil statement. And how many times do we make plans and not include the reality of God's sovereignty, submitting ourselves to Him? Notice what he says here. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. Can any one of you tell me what's going to happen to you tomorrow? We have plans. We have thinking. If we think something might happen, we have no idea. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears a little while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. The Apostle Paul was not arrogant in his plans, especially in ministry. I hope in the Lord. And it wasn't a tag-along phrase, it was from the heart. I hope in the Lord to send Timothy. What about you? Do you place your decisions before the Lord? Lord, I'm putting it in your hands. This is my desire, this is what I think you want me to do, but it's in your hands. Whatever you want. You know, until you're totally broken that way, you're never going to be living a joyous Christian life. Until you're totally emptied, completely, not one thing you're actually holding on. Now, we grab little things here and there, but you let them go. Until you're yielded to Christ. So he hopes in the Lord to send Timothy. Paul was very concerned. Notice the reason why he's going to send Timothy. He says here, but I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I may also be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Paul hopes in the Lord to send Timothy to the Philippians shortly or quickly. And the reason why, so that I also, he's including Timothy in that, I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. Now, Paul uses an interesting word here that's translated encouraged. Paul often will coin cognates of words that you don't see in other areas of Greek writing or other portions of Scripture, where he'll take two pieces of two different words and put them together to make something. And here he says encouraged, and he uses the term here, well or good, with the word psuche, your soul, that I would be good-souled, that my internal reality, who I am, would be well when I learn of your condition. That shows an internal heart reality. Paul was not a hireling. He was genuinely concerned for those who were truly in Christ, those who wanted to follow the Lord. He was genuinely concerned. And he says, I hope so that I also may be good-souled when I learn of your condition. You see, he desired to hear of their spiritual condition, and he was assuming it would be a favorable report. You remember what the Apostle John said in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than this, than to hear of my children walking in the truth. Obeying the Lord God. I'll tell you what grieves me the most is when I talk to people, when you're not obeying Christ. Whether it's excuses or this or that or whatever it is. Rather than, I'm a sinner and I need Jesus and He needs to help me and I trust Him to do so. He's faithful. And obeying Christ. It's a joy to hear of those doing well in the Lord. But equally, it's grieving when they are not. The Apostle Paul was very concerned about the body of Christ. He shares in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, who is led into sin without my intense concern. He talks about the pressure of concern for all the churches. We're going to see that word concern there. And also in our passage is a word that speaks of worry, actually. Same word translated anxiety, but it's different. We'll talk about that in a minute. So what type of things might Paul be looking for? What dangers might have the Philippians been in that he was concerned about? What dangers might there have been? Well, we all know we have dangers, right? But what things specifically were a threat to their faith in Jesus Christ? Earlier in this letter, he elaborates to some specific threats. We saw in chapter 1, there was opposition and the result was suffering. Chapter 1, verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you, so that you are standing firm in one spirit. Standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith, the gospel. In no way alarmed by what? Your opponents. They had opponents. Which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you. And that too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Suffering. Opposition. What about chapter 3? We know there were threats from false brethren. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble for me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the false circumcision. There were false guys there. There were bad guys. Chapter 3, verse 20. We know that many, he says, often weeping, are now enemies of the cross of Christ. And then in chapters 2 and 4, we see that their own flesh was a threat, right? Do all things without complaining and grumbling. Chapter 4, verse 2. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord. There was difficulties.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, I can imagine many of our listeners being uncomfortable with that notion that they should tell others to follow them as they follow Christ. And that's an extremely loaded statement.
Well, Dave, I would certainly not encourage a haphazard declaration of something like that from anyone. But I would also caution against dismissing this as something as unattainable. The reality is that Timothy was an ordinary guy. He wasn't a super Christian. He was just a young man who took following Christ seriously. And perhaps that's where we need to begin, by asking the question, are you taking your Christian life seriously? If someone were to peer into your life, what would they see as an evidence of the seriousness concerning your walk with Christ? Would they see someone who is serious about a career, family or ministry or hobby? Indeed, your time, your money, your talents, the way you use them, tell a lot about what's really important to you. If you want to be a godly example, then you need to get serious about developing your spiritual life and becoming more like Christ. It can begin today by simply acknowledging to the Lord that you've allowed other things to take preeminence in your life and that you recognize it now, and then just repenting of that and turning to Christ. And then from this point, making a determination to place Christ first, putting the things of Christ as preeminent in your life, setting your mind on the things above, not the things of earth. We need to repent and make the decision to prioritize Christ.
Drawing the line in the sand today is an important first step in becoming the person God wants you to be and someone that others would desire to follow. I pray that you'll take this first step now. You'll never regret it.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.